Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, to the 1 Thessalonians. Our lesson this morning, Lord willing, this evening, will be coming from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20, "Let your praise be in another man's mouth and not in your own." Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20. This morning, as we consider these great brethren at Thessalonica, we'll notice that Paul is expressing his gratitude for these brethren. It's not the brethren being puffed up about themselves or patting themselves on the back. It's the Apostle Paul expressing his thanks, expressing his gratitude for these brethren. You think about our brethren at Thessalonica, it reminds us of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey when he came into the area of Macedonia. You'll see that in Acts chapter 16. And as he makes his way through Macedonia in Acts chapter 17, he comes to the city of Thessalonica. And in the city of Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul will reason out of the Old Testament scriptures, alleging and proving that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There were those who heard the gospel message in Thessalonica and responded in obedience to the gospel. There were certain Jews there that were stirred up when they heard the Apostle Paul preaching Jesus Christ. And we see because of that persecution in Thessalonica against the Lord's church, the Apostle Paul would have to go to Berea. Paul would send Timothy back to Thessalonica to work with this congregation. The Apostle Paul is going to receive a favorable report, a great report concerning these great brethren. Based upon that background information, this is where the Apostle Paul will begin to express his appreciation for these brethren. And you'll see that in verse number 2. "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." But then as we begin looking at verse number 3, Paul is going to mention at least four things, four simple realities that give him reason to be thankful. And we're going to mention those things this morning because what Paul mentions about these brethren should be seen even in our own lives. And so why is Paul so thankful for these brethren? Begin with me in verse number 3. "Remembering without ceasing, number 1, your work of faith." Paul gives thanks to God for these brethren, number 1, because of their increasing faith. We might say that these Christians had real faith. They had genuine faith. From the book of James chapter 2, 14 through 26, they had a faith that would work, that would do something. James has a lot to say about faith and works. The word works is something that we need to understand in the New Testament. There are a certain kind of works that God welcomes. There's a certain kind of works that must be present in our life if we're going to have saving faith. James will tell us faith without works is dead. We don't want to have a dead faith. We want to have a living faith. And so we don't want to divorce works from faith. God has joined these two things together. We're not saved by meritorious works. James is not talking about meritorious works. He's talking about works of righteousness. He's simply talking about doing those things that God commands us to do in His Word. And that's what Paul has in mind here in verse number 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Friends, that's real faith. That is genuine faith. Real faith will do exactly what God says to do it, and we will do it in the way He says to do it. We're not going to question what God says. We're simply going to respond in obedience to God's Word. And then when we do that, we are going to have a stronger faith. I want you to notice a couple more passages in the book of 1 Thessalonians, because Paul is going to continue to mention their faith. Look at chapter 3. And we're going to make a point as we look at these verses. In chapter 3, verse number 6, Paul says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, that ye have good remembrance of always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." And then drop down to verse number 10. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "Night and day praying exceeding that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now notice what we've looked at so far about these good brethren. Paul, number one, he gives thanks for their increasing faith. Paul receives a report from Timothy concerning these brethren. They had real faith. They had genuine faith. They had a faith that would work by love, as we would see in Galatians 5, verse number 6. But Paul had a desire to see these good brethren, chapter 3, verse number 10, to help increase their faith. Paul wanted them to grow even more. And so Paul wanted to perfect that which would be lacking in their faith. But as you know, the Apostle Paul wrote two letters to these good brethren. If you would, look at one more passage. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 3, as he begins this second letter, he says, "Once again, we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is meet, because," and this is what he says, "that your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith is growing. It's increasing exceedingly. When you look at the original language, when Paul uses the word grow, he uses a compound word. This is a word that he would use very often in his writing, because it's a term that would express this as he gives thanks for these good brethren. Your faith is growing beyond what we expected. Friends, that has to do with spiritual growth. That's why Paul was so thankful for these brethren. Paul receives a good report. Paul has first-hand knowledge of these brethren. And these brethren are growing. Now let me mention something going back to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And sometimes I think we miss this. We look at verse number 3 and we talk about their faith increasing. They were growing in their faith. But look at verse number 6. Look at verse number 6, because when you consider verse number 6, to me this says it all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." That's the background to this great book. And that particular verse takes us back to Acts chapter 17 concerning the hostility, concerning the persecution that arose against these New Testament Christians. If you want to just grasp the idea of how difficult it would be, remember what we said. Paul had to leave this city. It was so bad. People got so stirred up about Christianity in a negative way, Paul had to leave and go to Berea. And think about it. When you go back to Acts chapter 17, do you think those unbelieving Jews that rejected the gospel, do you think they were content staying in Thessalonica now that Paul has moved on? No, they were so upset that these unbelieving Jews went to Berea to try to find the Apostle Paul, and Paul had to leave Berea. To me, that gives us a true picture of how difficult it would be being a Christian in Thessalonica. But that persecution, that hardship, those trials that these good brethren faced didn't keep them from growing. In fact, I'm convinced it was the hardship, it was the persecution that really caused them to grow and increase in their faith. In fact, when we study the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, 20 through 21, as we read the parable of the soils, we see, in fact, that persecution will destroy, listen to it, superficial faith. Superficial faith is not genuine faith. It's a faith that hears the gospel, the good news. It's a faith that accepts the gospel, but then when persecution comes along, it rejects the gospel. It rejects the Christ, and that's what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the soil. There will be those who will accept the gospel, but when persecution comes along, in Luke's account, in Luke 8, they'll fall away in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution. Well, when we look at what Paul says about their faith in the book of 1 Thessalonians and also 2 Thessalonians, that's not the case with these brethren. That's why Paul is giving thanks to God, because they had increasing faith. They had real faith, and the persecution that they faced in this life really strengthened their faith. And that's what the Bible teaches us about the trials that we face, the hardships that we face in this life. In James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, we learn from those great contexts that the hardships that we face in this life have a way of developing, increasing our faith. They really make us stronger in the Lord. Think about Job. Think about the hardships Job faced. The hardships that he faced didn't destroy his faith. In fact, they made Job's faith even stronger. And that's what we see here with these good brethren at Thessalonica. Paul is giving thanks because their faith is increasing. Their faith is increasing. Think about it like this. The more hardships you go through, the more persecution you go through, the more you should be driven to God. And the more you are driven to God, the better you will know Him and trust Him. You know, we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Word of God. And so when we stop and think about what Paul is saying about these brethren, he mentions their growing faith, their increasing faith. Can that be said about me? Can that be said about you? You see, that's the application of what we're talking about this morning. Paul commends them. Their growth was obvious. Is ours. Their faith will not save us. Now, we look to them as an example, but if we're going to be saved, if we're going to hear, well done, what Paul says about them needs to be said about us. We need to have an increasing faith, which comes through spiritual growth. It comes through studying God's Word, growing in God's Word, and really living it out in our lives in the midst of adversity and the hardships of this life. That's a part of life. But those are the things that will help us grow in our faith. Notice the second thing that Paul's going to mention as we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. Paul, as he writes these brethren, he's mindful of these brethren. First thing he says, he remembers their work of faith. And then number 2, he says your labor of love. Not only is their faith in God increasing, their trust in God increasing, Paul says your labor of love is increasing. You're growing in love. Love for one another. Love for God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says in verse number 9. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all the Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase," there's that word increase again, "more and more." What is Paul saying? I want you to increase more and more in your faith. I want you to increase more and more in your love for God, your love for one another. By the way, this love that Paul is talking about is not some passive emotion. Paul's not talking about just some feeling, some mushy feeling that we might feel towards others. Paul is talking about real love. Real love makes sacrifices. Read 1 John 3 verses 17 and 18. Real love cares about others. Paul mentions that, as we just read, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And so Paul, again, commends them in their love for one another. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. He says in verse number 12, "And the Lord make you to increase," there's that word again, "increase and abound in love to one another and toward all men." The writer of Hebrews would also make this statement that brotherly love must continue. And you see how that brotherly love continued with these good brethren. And that's why I believe the Apostle Paul doesn't just remember their love, but he says their labor of love. Your labor of love. You know what that literally means? Your work of love. In other words, the love that they were growing in just didn't happen by accident. It was effort on their part. It had to do with their activity. Again, their care, their concern, not only for the brethren at Thessalonica, but for the brethren in Macedonia. And then Paul makes that statement, for all men. Stop and think about how important love is. John chapter 13 verses 34 and 35. It is the badge of discipleship. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Jesus is saying, the world will know that you belong to me because of your love. The love that you have toward one another. Love toward God. Love toward our brethren. Now, remember the context. In the very midst of persecution, these brethren were growing in their faith. They were increasing in their faith. We see that the persecution, the trials that they faced as New Testament Christians, gave them an opportunity to increase in their faith. Their faith didn't diminish, but their faith became stronger through the adversity. Now Paul mentions their love. Their love toward one another is abounding. Put it in its context. During persecution, it's love that binds us together. We sing that song that in our books, and it's love that binds us together in the midst of hardships. You see, when one Christian is suffering, when one Christian is going through a trial, that Christian is insulated by other Christians. That insulation that we're talking about is the insulation of love. That's what Christians do. They love one another. They care for one another. Again, they make sacrifices for one another. That is a picture of real Christianity. You see why Paul gives thanks to God for their increasing faith, for their increasing love for one another. And in both cases, Paul says these words, you have real faith, you have real love, but you need to increase in your faith, you need to increase in your love. Notice point number 3. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. You're going to see the same pattern. Paul says we give thanks, number 3, for your patience of hope. He gives thanks for their preserving hope. Again, they were being persecuted. They were in a very difficult situation. But it caused them to grow in their faith. It caused them to grow in their love, and we might say it caused them to have a deeper hope in God. Paul talks about their steadfastness. Now he talks about their hope. The hope of being with God. The hope of eternal life. When you put it together, it's the hope of eternal life that causes us to endure the trials of this life, because we know that God has something good in store for His children. We know that there's going to be a better place. Heaven awaits those who are faithful to God, and think about what heaven is going to be like. We learn in the Bible that there won't be any more persecution. There won't be any more hardship. We might even say this, in heaven we won't ever receive any bad news. In this world, there will be times that we receive bad news. But that bad news has a way of causing us to become stronger and more devoted, more focused in this life. Listen, I'm convinced that if it wasn't for the hardships of this life, we wouldn't be focused on heaven. We would think life on earth is really heaven. And that's not heaven, folks. That's not what God wants us to desire, to be here on this earth forever. No, this life on this earth is very, very short. God has given us a body that's not designed to last forever. But we have hope of a better body. We have the hope of a spiritual body that is fit for eternity. The Bible has a lot to say about hope. Now, if you would, look at chapter 3, verse number 5. Remember the pattern we've been looking at, and we'll mention it again. Look at chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Again, Paul talks about their faith, Paul talks about their love, and Paul talks about their hope. These three things. And as he mentions these three things, he talks about their increasing faith, their increasing love, and now their increasing hope. You have it. You have faith. You have love. You have hope. But you need more of it. You need more faith. You need more love. You need more hope. Be sure you see that from the book of 1 Thessalonians. You have faith. You have love. You have hope. But you need more of it, Paul says. You need to increase in that faith. You need to increase in that love. And you need to increase in your hope. Now, that's what Paul said about these brethren. Can that be said of us? Are we increasing in our faith? Are we increasing in our love? And as you think about this third point, think about it from this perspective. Do we have a deeper longing for home? Remember, heaven is our home. Do we have a deeper longing for home? I'd encourage you to read the book of Philippians. And you'll see that longing Paul had for heaven. Oh, he wanted to be there with the brethren at Philippi to work with them. In fact, he's going to make the statement there in chapter 1 going into chapter 2. To abide with you is far better, but I have a desire to be with the Lord. And I think as we go through this life, as we face the bad news, the adversity, the trials, the persecution, our faith can grow, our love can grow, and our hope can grow. If our faith, love, and hope is real, if it is genuine. Go back to chapter 1. One more point. Lesson will be yours. Look at verse number 5. Then he goes on to say, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you." Listen to what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul is giving thanks because notice where their focus was. Their focus, verse number 5, going down through verse number 10, was on the kingdom of God. It wasn't on personal comfort. It wasn't on self-satisfaction. It was on the kingdom of God. Their focus was clearly on the kingdom. They were truly living out Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardship, they weren't turning their back on God. They were seeking the kingdom first. Paul says, "You are suffering for the kingdom." Lord willing, when we come back, we'll mention that again tonight because there is some more that we want to look at from the book of 1 Thessalonians because this letter is so encouraging for us. It really gives us something to think about this morning as we examine our own faith, as we examine our own love, as we examine our own hope and our focus. Are we growing in faith? Are we growing in love? Do we have a deeper longing for heaven? Do we have that kind of focus as we go through this life? If not, we need to evaluate and we need to make some changes. Because what we're describing this morning is faithfulness. We're describing genuine Christianity. I hope this lesson this morning will encourage you to think about your spiritual life. I hope it will help you become stronger in the Lord as you serve Him all of the days of your life. God will reward you. God will be well pleased if you will live like this. It might be that you're not a child of God. This morning you have an opportunity to obey the gospel, to have that real faith, to have that real love for God by obeying the commandments of God. Jesus says this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. If we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. We're going to obey the gospel plan of salvation. We're going to put Christ on in baptism, have our sins washed away, and we're going to walk differently. We're going to live differently as the children of God. We're not going to allow the hardships of this life to pull us down, but in fact, they'll make us stronger in the Lord. This morning, if we can help you, won't you please come?